طيب بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. طيب okay, this is this is going to be our review session number 9. Reading from Lessons in Arabic Language, Book 3, Level 3, Dr. Abdul Rahim, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. And today, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to try to do two lessons, review of Lesson 13 and Lesson 14. Now, I have to see if I can get this outline of what we intend to do today on the screen. This new setup that these people have made is a mushkila. It is not working for me. But anyway, let's try it. Bismillah. Okay. One more piece. All right. Copy. Paste. Alright, looks like it's on, mashallah. Alright, so again, as I said, today it's going to be review session number 9. And we're going to be looking at lessons, mainly lesson 13 and small amount of information that came in lesson 14. We're going to try to cover that all today. It's just a review, so we're not going to spend a lot of time. Again, of course, as you know, if you've been with us, we are not going through exercises, and we're not doing the reading of the dialogue and stuff like that. We're just trying to go over the grammatical points that are explained in the lesson. So lesson 13 is going to be the core of the session today. Most of what we're going to be covering is going to be from lesson 13, which we're going to begin with. And the format that we've been using in previous sessions, we're going to be using that format today. That is, we're going to look at the English key, and we're going to look at the Arabic. If there's something in both of them, we're going to look at both of them, even though pretty much it's going to be overlapping, saying the same thing. But we just want to take a look at what is said in each case, all right? So we're going to start with the English key. Lesson 13 on page 52, and the first thing that it deals with is, in this lesson we learn the following. Number 1, Lamu al-Amri. You have learned the Amr in book 2. For example, Uktub, write. This form of the Amr is used to command or request the second person. This is when you're giving a command to a person directly. To command or request a third person, yani someone else who you're not speaking to directly, the form li yaktub is used. It means let him write, or he should write, or he must write. For example, li yaktub kullu talibin ismahu fi hadhihi alwaraqati. Let every student write his name on this paper. Or li tajlis kullu talibatin fi makaniha. Let every female student sit in her place. This form is also used for the first person plural. For example, lina'kul. Let us eat. And we'll stop here just for a minute. Okay? So, lam al-amr is a form of, it's a manner, a way of giving a command to the third person. Remember, the first person is the speaker, the second person is one you are speaking to directly, and the third person is when you're talking about somebody else. You're not talking to them directly. So, when you're talking to somebody directly, use the fi'l amr, the normal fi'l amr. Uktub, ijlis, yani idhab, and so on, like this. But when you're talking, you're giving a command to a third party, not to the person you're speaking or the people you're speaking directly to, that's when you use this form of command, that is the use of lam al-amr, the lam that indicates a command. And this is for when you are giving a command or request or demand or to other than the person you're speaking directly to, other than the second person. Yani, in other words, the third person or the first person. The lam, it goes on to say, the lam used in this form is called lamu al-amr. It is used with the mudari majzum. And it's used with the mudari form of the verb for other than the second person, for the third person or the first person, and it makes the mudari verb majzum. So, for example, first they give us examples from the third person. Third person masculine, yani, I'm going to give you the pronouns that correspond to these forms. Yani, we're going to read from the right to the left, the bottom of the page, next to the last line. These are examples of the use of lam al-amr with the mudari. So you say, li yaktub. This is for the corresponding to the, these are third person pronouns. This is corresponding to huwa. Li yaktub huwa. Li yaktuba huma. Two of them, dual, third person. Li yaktubu hum. Yani, speaking about a group of males. Li yaktubu, yani corresponding to whom. Then they give us the females, third person forms. Li taktub hiya. Li taktuba huma, yani two females, third person. Li yaktubna, yani corresponding to hunna, third person feminine plural. Then they give us the first person forms. Li aktub ana. لِنَكْتُبْ نَحْنُ. Alright, so this is how the lam al-amr is used with the mudari, third person, masculine or feminine, singular, dual or plural, and with first person, singular or plural. This is how it's used with the mudari verb. It's not used with the second person forms, because for second person we have the fi'l amr. Okay, so for other than second person, for third person or first person, singular, plural, masculine or feminine, singular, plural or dual, masculine or feminine, then this is when we use lam al-amr. Okay, the last line of this page says, the lam al-amr, this is an important note, has kasra. Li yaktub, li taktub, li naktub. It has kasra, but it takes sukun after waw, fa, and thumma. In other words, if the lam al-amr is connected to a mudari verb, but before it there's waw, the yani one of the conjunctions like waw, or fa, or thumma, in that case the lam al-amr takes sukoon. Instead of kasra, it takes sukoon. So for example, you say, I turn to the next page, 53, at the top of the page it says, li yajlis, li yajlis, kullu talibin, wal yaktub. Let every student sit and write. Liyajlis. Yani here we see lam al-amr has its yani original kasra. Liyajlis huwa. Yani this is third person, right? Masculine, singular. Liyajlis kullu talibin. Wal yaktub. Yani because the lam al-amr here is preceded by waw, or fa, or thumma, then it doesn't take kasra, rather takes sukun. Wal yaktub. Yani huwa. Another example with fa. It says, fal nakhruj. So let us go out. Yani here the lam al-amr, which originally has kasra, because it's preceded by fa, yani became sakin. Fal nakhruj. Let us all go out. Not fa li nakhruj. Fal nakhruj. And the last example they gave us with thumma, linaqra qalilan. Thummal nanam. Let us read for some time. Linaqra qalilan. Let us read a little while. Thumma, then let us sleep. So originally li nanam, but because it's preceded by thumma, the lam of lam al-amr, the lam, instead of taking kasra, it has sukun. So you say thummal nanam. Then let us sleep. Not thumma li nanam. Alright, so this is very important, that the Lam al-Amra originally does have kasra, but whenever it's preceded by waw, or fa, or thumma, the kasra of Lam al-Amra is exchanged for sukoon. Okay, so we're going to look at this in the Arabic on page 106. Near the top of the page, not exactly at the top, it says, لِيَدْخُلْ لِيَدْخُلْ. This is Lam al-Amr with his كسر being connected to a mudari verb, making it يعني مجزوم. هذه لام الأمر. This is what is called لام الأمر. تدخل على الفعل المضاري وتجزمه وتفيد الأمر. يعني this لام الأمر تدخل على فعل الماضي. It's used with the مضاري verb وتجزمه, and it makes it مجزوم وتفيد الأمر, and the benefit we get from it is the benefit of a command. It also says تدخل على فعل الغائب والمتكلم, and it is also used, يعني it's used with which type of مضارب verb? The غائب, the third person, and the متكلم, the first person. It's not used with the second person. Second person, we have the فعل أمر. For example, ليجلس كل طالب في مكانه. This is when it's used with the, for example, an example with the third person. لنجلس معا. This is when it's used with the first person. Okay, ليجلس كل طالب في مكانه, يعني let every student sit in his place. لنجلس معا, let us all, يعني sit together, معا, with one another. Finally it says لام والأمر مكسورة وتسكن بعد الواو والفاء والثم. يعني لام الأمر is مكسورة, يعني it has the vowel كسرة. وتسكن, but it takes the سكون, it exchanges the كسرة for سكون بعد واو, if it comes after واو or after فاء or after ثم. Okay, let's go on back to the English key. The second point of the English key on page 53, it says, we have learnt La and Nahiya in book 2, lesson 15. La and Nahiya, yani the La that makes the mudari verb majzoom. Here's an example. La tajlis huna, don't sit here. There we have learnt the use of La and Nahiya with the second person only. La Nahiya, which is the prohibitive La, and it makes the mudari verb majzoom. In lesson 15 of book 2, we learn the use of La Nahiya, but only with the second person. Now we learn its use with the third person. Now we learn how to use La Nahiya when we're not talking directly to somebody. Just like we learn how to give a command when we're not talking directly to someone by using Lam al-Amr. So here we learn how to use La Nahiya, يعني with the third person. For example, لا يخرج أحد من الفصل, let no one leave the classroom, or no one should leave the classroom. Note the difference between these two sentences. لا تدخل with ضمة سيارة الأجرة الجامعة, a taxi does not enter the university. And this is negation, la nafiya. Taxis do not enter the university. But the next sentence, la tadkhul with sukoon, la tadkhul with sukoon, la tadkhul sayaratu al-ujrati al-jamiyata. A taxi should not, must not enter the university. The difference between the two sentences, in the first sentence we have la nafiya, la tadkhulu. It doesn't make the mudari verb majzoom. And the second one we have la nahiya, the prohibitive la, which makes the mudari verb majzoom. The difference is the first one, la nafiya, is negation. This doesn't happen. Taxis don't enter the university. The second one is la nahiya, prohibition. Taxis must not enter the university. The la in the first sentence is la nafiya, and in the second sentence is la nahiya. The verb after la nafiya is marfu'un, and the verb after la and nahiya is majzoom. Now, okay, we're going to look at just briefly what it says about this. In the Arabic section of this lesson, page 107, bottom half of the page, it says, سَبَقَ أَنْ دَرَسْتَ لَا النَّاهِيَةَ. You have previously studied لَا النَّاهِيَةَ, the prohibitive لَا. الدَّاخِلَةَ عَلَى فِعْل المخاطب. Then that's used with the second person verb form. فِعْل المخاطب, when you're speaking directly to somebody. For example, يَا أَحْمَد, talking directly to him. Second person, masculine, singular. يَا أَحْمَد, لَا تَلَعَبْ فِي الْفَصْلِ. Right? لَا تَلَعَبْ, do not play in the classroom. Or, second person, masculine, plural. يَا إِخْوَانُ, لَا تَذْهَبُوا إِلَى الْمَطْعَمِ قَبْلَ سَاعَةِ الْوَاحِدَةِ. Don't go to the matam before 1 o'clock. لَا تَذْهَبُوا. يعني originally, تَذْهَبُونَ became مَجْزُوم. Or second person feminine singular, يا آمِنَةُ لا تجلسي هنا. يعني originally تجلسين became مجزوم because of لا ناهية, حذف النون. لا تجلسي هنا, don't sit here. Or second person feminine plural, يا أخواتُ لا تفتحن النوافذ. Do not open the windows. Oh sisters, do not open the windows. Here, يعني تفتحنا is the second person feminine plural. It's مبنيون, so there's no change in it. In other words, we learned how to use لا ناهية previously, but only when we are using the second person verb form, speaking directly to somebody, whether masculine, feminine, singular, or plural. But now we want to say that it can also be used with the third person. وَتَدْخُلُ لا ناهية على فعل الغائب. So the لا ناهية is also used with the فعل غائب, يعني the third person form of the verb. نحو لا يخرج أحدهم من الفصل. No one of them must leave the classroom. طيب, after this, I'm going to go back to the English key again. We're looking at the third point. And the third point is dealing with what is called on page 53, point number 3, الجزم بالطلب. The مضاري, a مضاري verb preceded by an أمر أو a نهي, a command or a prohibition. يعني, and then they have a footnote says, النهي is a negative أمر. يعني, so both of them are commands. One is a command to do something, that's called an أمر, and one is a command not to do something, that's called a نهي. So, a مضاري verb that's preceded by amr, a command to do something, or nahi, a command not to do something, is majzum. Yani the mudari verb that's preceded by amr or nahi, that mudari verb that follows the amr or nahi is majzum. For example, ikra, that's a amr, right? Ikra'ahu marratan ukhra tafhamhu. Read it again and you will understand it. So read it again, that's a fi'l amr. The verb, the mudari verb that comes after it, is تفهمه. It's مجزوم. Why is it مجزوم? Because the مضاري verb that's preceded by a command or a prohibition becomes مجزوم. Read it again. That's a command. You will understand it. تفهمه became مجزوم because of the command before it. The prohibition before it. لا تكسل تنجح. Don't be lazy and you will pass. يعني تنجح is majzoom. Why? Because it's a mudari verb that's preceded by a nahi, a prohibition, a command not to do something. Don't be lazy and you will pass. This, yani making the mudari verb majzoom because it's preceded by amr or prohibition, this is called al-jazmu bit-talabi. Yani that a verb became majzoom because of a talab, because of a command or a prohibition. That is the mudari being majzoom because of amr or nahi. The word talab means demand or request. The word talab means demand or request. And it is used to include both the amr, the command to do something, and the nahi, the command not to do something, because both of them signify demand or a request. Because both of them signify a demand or request. On the next page, page 54, there's a little bit remaining from this point. It says, the mudari majzum that comes after the amr or the nahi is called, that verb that became majzum because of the amr or the nahi is called jawabu at-talabi. It's called jawab at-talabi. What we said in Arabic is very brief concerning this. On page 110, near the top of the page, yani after the first line, it says, اقرأه مرة أخرى تفهمه. Same example they gave us in the English key. Read it once again, and you will understand it. هنا تفهم, يعني when تفهمه, يعني which is what we just said is the جواب طلب. هنا تفهم is مجزوم لأنه وقع جوابا للطلب. يعني in this sentence, اقرأه مرة أخرى تفهمه. In this sentence, tafham is majzoom li'annahu waqa'a jawaban li'talab, because it has occurred in the sentence as the jawab al-talab. Jawab al-talab. Iza waqa'a al-mudari jawaban li'talab juzima. So whenever a mudari verb occurs in a sentence as a jawab, the response to a talab, a command or a prohibition, jawab al-talab, then it became juzima, it became majzum. وَمِنْ أَنْوَاعَ الطَّلَبِ الْأَمْرُ وَالنَّهِي. And from the types of talab that can precede it to make it majzum is the command, al-amr, command to do something, and the nahi, the command not to do something. For example, i'mal, that's a command to do something. i'mal amalan saliha tadkhul al-jannata. Do righteous deeds and you will enter the Jannah. Here, tadkhul, originally it has sukun, there's a kasra there just to connect it to the, yani the next word which begins with a sakin, yani begins with alif lam. I'mal amalan salihan, do righteous deeds and you will enter the Jannah. The next example, la taksal tanjah, do not be lazy and you will succeed, yani you will be successful. Or you will pass the exam. Here, the tanjah is jawab al-talab, and it's majzoom because it's preceded by a prohibition, yani al-nahi, a command not to do something. Command not to do something. Now, okay, going back to the English key to the next point, point number four. Point number four is wa ra'sahu. Wa ra'sahu. So this, the explanation here for this is in English, and there's really no explanation in the Arabic. There are examples and exercises for it, but there's no explanation. So we're going to look carefully at the English explanation here and suffice with it, and just look at some examples from the Arabic text. But point number four on the top of page 54 says wa ra'sa, wa ra'sa. This is used to express pain, and it is called an-nudbatu, an-nudbatu. So from ra'si, my head, if I want to express pain about my head, ra'si, the pronoun ya, yani from ra'si, ya al-mutakallam, my head, the pronoun ya is omitted, is taken out, is deleted, and the ending, ah, yani, fatha alif ha with sukoon, is replacing the ya. So it is, this ending is added. So instead of ra-si, now I have ra-sa with ha with sukoon on the end of it. And then we're going to add wa to the beginning of it, and we have wa ra-sa. So from ra-si, my head, the pronoun ya is omitted, and the ending a is added. If one wants to express pain in his hand, yani wa ra'sa means, oh, my head is hurting. If one wants to express pain in his hand, he says, wa yada, wa yada. Yani from yadi, my hand, the ya is removed, and a, yani fatha alif ha with sukun is added, yada, and then the waw, yani is placed before it, so it became wa yada, Oh, my hand. Any pain in my hand. And Nodbatu is also used to express sorrow. Not just pain, but it's also used to express sorrow or sadness. To mourn the loss of Bilal, we can also yani take off the tanwin from Bilal and add Fatha Alif Ha with Sukun and Wa in the beginning of it. So it became Wa Bilala. Yani, alas for Bilal. Meaning, yani, expressing sorrow or sadness or grieving for whatever happened to Bilal. Yani, he died or whatever. Alright, so this is the way this the nudba is formulated. Yani, if you're talking about my head, you just take off the pronoun, e, and you add to it a, and in the beginning prefix wa, wa ra'sa, wa yada, and so on. Okay, so just for some examples of this, we're going to turn to the Arabic page 110. Right? In the Arabic page 110, under exercise number 3. After exercise number 3, halfway down the page, it says, ta'ammal al-amthila al-atiya lin-nudba wa akmal al-naqis. Okay, they give us some examples. That's what we want to just look at, just for examples. So, ra'si becomes wa ra'sa. And if you're adding wa in the beginning, and then a with Howard Sukun on the end, wa ra'sa. From yadi, take off the ya al-mutakallam, the pronoun ya al-mutakallam, and you get wa yada. From batni, my stomach, pain in my stomach, wa batna, and so on to the end, and qalbi, my heart is in pain, wa qalba, my back, zahri, wa zahra, my eye, ayni, wa ayna, and so on. Okay, these are just some examples. Okay, let's go back to the English key. To the next point, number 5. Point number 5, it says, we have learnt Mudari Majzoom in Book 2, Lessons 15 and 21. And we have been introduced there to 3 of the 4 particles that cause jazm in the Mudari. Yani in Book 2, Lessons 15 and 21, we have been introduced to 3 of the 4 particles that cause a Mudari verb to become Majzoom. These are, the ones that we had there, are lamma and lam and la nahiya. We had la nahiya, we had lam, and we had lamma. La nahiya is the prohibitive la. Lam makes the mudari verb majzoom, and it changes the meaning from present tense to past tense. And lamma has the extra meaning of negation of the action right now. Yani lam yadhab, he didn't go. Lamma yadhab, he didn't go yet. And we have learnt the 4th particle of jazm that makes the mudari verb majzoom in this lesson. That is, lam al-amra. So the 4 particles are called jawazimu al-mudari. Yani, those things which make the mudari verb majzoom. Here are some ayats which contain these jawazim. So they gave us 4 examples from the Quran for each one of these 4. Things that make the mudari verb, 4 particles that make the mudari verb majzoom. The first one is for lam, and from the Quran, from the 90th surah, 8th and 9th ayat, ba'da a'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim, alam naj'al lahu aynayn wa lisanan wa shafatayn. Have we not made for him a pair of eyes and a tongue and a pair of lips? Yani the shahid, the point here is what? Alam naj'al. Yani lam here, making the mudari verb majzoom. The second one is from the Quran, 49th surah, 14th ayat. وَلَمَّا يَدْخُلِ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. And faith has not yet entered into their hearts. The shahid, yani the point here that we want to look at is what? The use of lamma to make the mudari verb majzoom. And again, lamma means what? It didn't happen yet. وَلَمَّا يَدْخُلِ. Yani, faith has not yet entered in their hearts. It may come later, but it hasn't yet entered in their hearts. The third one is for La Nahiya. In the Quran, 9th surah, 40th ayat. لا تحزن إن الله معنا. Don't grieve. Surely Allah is with us. Here we see لا ناهية لا تحزن, making the مضارع verb مجزوم. And finally, example of لام, لام الأمر, which we learned in this lesson from the Quran, 80th Surah, 24th Ayat. فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ إِلَىٰ طَعَامِهِ. Let man look at his food. Here we see the لام الأمر in فَلْيَنْظُرِ, making the مضارع verb مجزوم. The كسر is added in order to eliminate التقاء الساكنين, يعني because the را, when the verb became مجزوم, it takes سكون and is followed by سكون in the ألف لام, the definite article. So in order to eliminate that, we put the كسر there. But originally, the verb form here is مجزوم because of لام الأمر. لام الأمر here doesn't have كسر, and that's because what? When it's preceded by the conjunction واو or فا or ثم, then the لام الأمر takes سكون instead of كسر. Right, so these are examples here of the four particles that make the مضارع verb مجزوم. In the Arabic, I think they gave us the same exact examples, so we don't need to read them all over again, right? But, and we'll just take a look, I think it's on page 109. It says, الجازمُ فعلاً واحداً. Okay, this is the benefit. الجازمُ فعلاً واحداً أربعة أحرف. So the thing that makes one verb مجزوم, there are four particles, أربعة أحرف. Okay, so what's the point here that is mentioned here that's not mentioned in the English or not made clear in the English? Is that these جوازم المضارع are particles that make the مضارع verb مجزوم, but they only make one verb مجزوم. They only make one verb مجزوم. الجازم فعلا واحدا أربعة أحرف. And there are four particles, لم, لما, لا ناهية, and لام الأمر. And we just read those ayats, so no need to read the same ayats again. Okay, after this, we go into the last point of this English key. That is point number 6 on page bottom of page 54. It says number 6, ahin and ahi, yani with tanween and without tanween. This is a verb noun, yani ism fi'l, meaning yani ahi or ahin means I feel pain. Its fa'il, the fa'il of this verb noun, is a hidden pronoun representing ana, which understood to be ana, meaning I feel pain. And that's all they gave us here. So now we definitely need to go to the Arabic to get a good explanation of this particular point. So we're going to go to page 112, I think, which is the probably the last page of this lesson, top of the page. It says, Ahi and Ahin, ismu fi'lin, mudari'in. Yani it's an ism fi'l that's mudari. And it represents the mudari form, present tense form. Bimana atawajja'u, which means, I feel pain. I am experiencing pain, mudari, right now. It's مبنيٌ على كسر. And it's مبنيٌ on كسر. It doesn't change from كسر. وفاعله ضمير مستتر وجوبا تقديره أنا. And this is also clarification of what's mentioned in English here. It's not only telling us that it's an ism, a verb noun, ism فعل, but it's also telling us that the meaning of this particular verb noun is مضاري, and يعني it's a مضاري form in meaning. That's what it represents, and that the meaning is أتوجعُ. I am presently experiencing pain. And this form of the word is مبنيٌ على كسرة. It's fixed upon كسرة. It doesn't change from كسرة, whether a single كسرة or كسرتين تنوين. And the فاعل, in the English it says its فاعل is a hidden pronoun representing أنا. In Arabic it says وَفَاعِلُهُ دَمِيرٌ مُسْتَطِيرٌ, the hidden pronoun وُجُوبًا. Yani it means it must be a hidden pronoun. It can't be represented by a clear pronoun. You can't say أنا آهن. It has to be ضمير مستتر. تقديره, and it's understood to be أنا. So just one other point that I want to make here that's not mentioned in English or in Arabic, and that is the difference between ahi and ahin. So ahi, without tanween, is when a person experiences pain from a particular area, specific sickness. Whereas ahin with tanween is when a person experiences pain from everywhere, hurting everywhere, not any specific pain. And that's why the tanween is there, because tanween is to indicate that the pain is not limited to a specific place or a specific area, it's just all over the place. Whereas without the tanween, it means that there's pain in a specific area of the body, in one's hand, or one's foot, or one's back, or whatever. Okay, so the tanween means there's indefinite pain all over the place, and without the tanween, it's a definite, specific pain in a particular place. And that's the end of the English key, and the end of what we wanted to discuss from this lesson. And what remains is lesson 14. Let's take a quick look at lesson 14. In the time that remains. It looks like there's good time remaining, mashallah. What? Mashallah, okay. Lesson 14, the English key, starts on page 56 and 57. And then the Arabic starts on pages, on 115. So, let's look at the English first. And basically, really, this English key only deals with 2 points, but 1 point is, and we'll just go to the second point and eliminate that, and then, because there's no Arabic here dealing with the second point anyway. So we're going to deal with the second point first from the English key, and then we'll go to the first point, which is the core of the lesson, in English key and then in Arabic. Okay, so the second point in English key on page 57, halfway down the page, says, number two, we have learned the nasab in lesson three. For example, Sudaniyun, from As-Sudan. Now we learn that if a word ends with ta marbuta, the ta marbuta is omitted prior to the addition of the ya of nasab. For example, when we want to ascribe nasab to something, like something is ascribed to the Sudan, we say Sudani, yani it's Sudanese. It's something from Sudan. Person, clothing, food, Sudanese food, Sudanese clothing, Sudanese person. We say it is Sudani. So that ya at the end is the ya nasab, it's an attribution or ascription of something to a place or an occupation or whatever. So what they are just mentioning here in this lesson is if the word that we want to add the ya nasab to it, if that word ends with taramabuta, we have to remove the taramabuta before we add the ya to it. So for example, Mecca, we would say Mekki, take the taramabuta out and then add the ya with shadda that represents nasab to Mecca without the ta marbuta. So you say Mekki, not Mekkati. You don't add it to the ta marbuta, remove the ta marbuta, and the same thing. Madrasatun, you don't say madrasati, but you say madrasi. Alright, so that's the second point, and that's it. There's no Arabic explanation of this. So we'll now go to the first point, and that will be what we wanted to cover for today. Okay. So the first point, back to page 56 again, it says in this lesson we learn the following. Number one, إِذَا. The word إِذَا is a ظَرْف, yani an adverb, with a conditional meaning. Yani it's a ظَرْف, adverb of time, that represents, yani مُسْتَقْبَل, the future, when something happens in the future. But it has a conditional meaning. Yani the meaning of if that happens in the future, then this. So it is mostly used with the verb in the past tense, even though its meaning is future tense. Yani, it's an adverb of time dealing with the future with a conditional meaning. Yani if this, then that. If this happens, then something else will happen. It is mostly used with a verb in the past tense, but the meaning is future. For example, إِذَا رَأَيْتَ خَالِدًا فَاسْأَلْهُ anil kitabi. If you see Khalid, yani if and when you see Khalid, yani when you see him, if you see him, so it has both meanings. Yani of when, in the future, when you see him, and also it has a conditional meaning. If you see him, then this. So if you see Khalid, ask him about the book. فَاسْأَلْهُ عَنِ الْكِتَابِ. If you see Khalid, then ask him about the book. Second example, إِذَا جَاءَ رَمَضَان فُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُ الْجَنَّةِ. When Ramadan, if or when Ramadan comes, the gates of paradise are opened. Yani, in the first example they translated either as if, and in the second they translated as when. Because it has both meanings. If is the conditional interpretation, and when is the yani ظرف, الزمان, yani the adverb of time interpretation. But it has both meanings. Yani, when in the future something happens, then this. Yani, if this happens, then do this. If you see Khalid, ask him. When Ramadan comes, the doors of paradise are open. The Arabic word for condition is sharat. Yani, the conditional meaning in either, the word that represents sharat in Arabic, that represents condition in Arabic is sharat. There are two parts of the sharat construction. The first part is called the sharat, the condition, and the second part is called jawabu sharat, the response or the answer to that condition. And if that condition is met, then this is what is going to be the response. Jawab al-shart. This is what is going to happen, or this is what you should do. For example, إِذَا جَاءَ Ramadan is the shart. When Ramadan comes, then what? فُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُ الْجَنَّةِ. The gates of paradise will be opened. We have seen earlier that the verb that comes after either, yani either ra'aita, either ja'a, we have seen that the verb that comes after either is mostly madhi, past tense. Sometimes mudari is also used though. The verb in the jawab al-shart may also be mudari. Yani, so in the shart construction, the verb that comes after either is generally past tense, and the jawab is generally past tense. However, the condition, the shart, can be present tense, and the jawab can also be present tense. Although, that's not the most common situation, but it does exist. It's not like unheard of. So sometimes mudari is also used, yani in the shart, and sometimes it's also used in the jawab al-shart, as we see in the following line of poetry. وَالنَّفْسُ رَاغِبَةٌ. Yani, the soul is desirous, yani, of more. إِذَا رَغَبْتَهَا. If you allow it or encourage it, yani, to be desirous, then it will do so. وَإِذَا تُرَدُّ إِلَى قَلِيلٌ. But if you turn it back to, yani, towards a little, قَلِيلٌ, تَقْنَعُ, then it will be content. So we see here, وَالنَّفْسُ رَاغِبَةٌ إِذَا رَغَبْتَهُ. Yani here in the first line of this poetry, إِذَا رَغَبْتَ is past tense. But in the second line of the poetry, إِذَا تُرَدُّ إِلَى قَلِيلٍ تَقْنَعُ, we see that the shart after إِجَا, إِذَا, is تُرَدُّ, is مُضَارِ. And the jawab al-shart, taqna'u, is also mudari. So the point is what? That the shart verb can be present tense, even though it's mostly past tense. And the jawab al-shart can be present tense, even though it's mostly past tense. Alright, this is for the word, for the dharf, either, which is a dharf, but it has conditional meaning. What's the rules concerning it? It's generally, the shart verb is generally past tense, and the jawab al-shart is generally past tense, but it can be present tense. The meaning here is what? If this happens, then that. Then you should do this, or this is going to happen, or whatever. The second point related to this, very briefly, is the jawab al-shart should take a fa in the following cases. Yani, the jawab al-shart should be preceded with fa in certain cases. Here they mention two of them. Number one, if the jawab al-sharat is a nominal sentence. For example, إذا اجتهدت فالنجاح مضمون. إذا اجتهدت, if you work hard, فالنجاح, then success is مضمون. Success is guaranteed, certain. Here we see that the jawab al-sharat, النجاح, is preceded by fa. And that's because what? Because the jawab al-sharat is a nominal sentence. If the jawab al-sharat is a nominal sentence, it should be preceded by fa. Turning the page to 57, on the top of the page, it says, إِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. This is from the Quran, 2nd Surah, 186, Ayat. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي. And if or when my servants ask you about me, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, then surely I am close by, I am near. Here we said what? Yani, if the jawab al-sharat is a nominal sentence, a jumla ismiya, it should be preceded by fa. So the shart, إذا سألك عبادي أني, إذا سألك فإني قريب, then I am near. We see that the jawab al-sharat is a jumla ismiya, إني قريب, so it's preceded by fa. This is the first situation in which the jawab al-sharat must be preceded by fa, that is, if the jawab al-sharat is a nominal sentence, jumla ismiya. The second situation in which the jawab al-sharat must be preceded by a fa, and these are only two of many situations in which it must be preceded by a fa. In the next lesson we'll receive the other situations, but here are only two. The second one is if the verb in the jawab al-sharat is a talabi. If the verb in the jawab al-sharat is a talabi. What is a talabi? A talabi verb is one containing amra, nahi, or istifham. A talabi means that the jawab al-sharat is itself a command or a prohibition or a question. So give us three examples here, or three types of examples. One in which the jawab al-sharat is a amra, a command to do something. Other example in which the jawab al-sharat is a nahi, a command not to do something. And another example in which the jawab al-sharat is a question. In each of these cases, yani if the verb in the jawab al-sharat is a talabi, yani amra or nahi or istifham, then it should be preceded by fa. This is the second case in which you use fa in the jawab al-sharat. That is, if the jawab al-sharat is a talabi. So the example of amra, first, it says A, إِذَا رَأَيْتَ حَامِدًا فَاسْأَلْهُ عَنْ مَوْعِدِ السَّفَرِ. If or when you see Hamid, ask him about the time of the departure. This is the amr. فَاسْأَلْهُ, then ask him عَنْ مَوْعِدِ السَّفَرِ, about the time of departure. Because the jawab al-sharat is a amr, a command to do something, it has to be preceded by fa. Then there's another example of amr. إِذَا دَخَلَ أَحَدُكُمُ الْمَسْجِدِ فَلْيَرَكَعْ رَكْعَتَيْنِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَجْلِسَ. This is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the adab of entering the masjid. If one of you enters the masjid, let him perform two rak'ah before he sits down. إِذَا دَخَلَ أَحَدُكُمُ الْمَسْجِدِ, that's the shart. فَلْيَرَكَعْ, that's the jawab al-sharat. فَلْيَرَكَعْ رَكَعْتَيْنِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَجْلِسَ, then he must perform two rak'ah before he sits down. Here the jawab al-sharat is لِيَرَكَعْ, lam al-amr. The lam al-amr doesn't have its kasra here because it is preceded by the conjunction fa, so it became sakin. فَلْيَرَكَعْ. The point here is the what? That if the jawab al-sharat is a command to do something, it has to be preceded by fa. And this fa also, because it's coming before the lam al-amr loses its kasra and becomes sakin. Okay, the second situation for talabi is when it's a nahi, a prohibition. a command not to do something. The example they gave us, إِذَا وَجَدْتَ الْمَرِيضَ نَائِمًا فَلَا تُوقِذْهُ. If you find the patient sleeping, don't wake him up. Yani, do not wake him up. لَا تُوقِذْهُ. So here, the jawab al-sharat is لَا تُوقِذْهُ. Do not wake him up. If the jawab al-sharat is a prohibition, a command not to do something, it must be preceded by fa. فَلَا تُوقِذْهُ. The third situation of a talabi is a question. If you see Bilal, if I see Bilal, the person is asking, if I see Bilal, what should I tell him? That's a question. The jawab al-sharat is a question. What shall I say to him? What shall I tell him? إِذَا رَأَيْتُ بِلَالًا, if I see Bilal or when I see Bilal, فَمَاذَا أَقُولُ لَهُ, what shall I say to him? What shall I tell him? Here the jawab al-sharat is مَاذَا أَقُولُ لَهُ. That's a question, istifham. So it must be preceded by فَإِذَا رَأَيْتُ بِلَالًا فَمَاذَا أَقُولُ لَهُ. This second situation in which the jawab al-sharat should be preceded by فَا is what? When the verb of the jawab al-sharat is a talabi. And a talabi is one containing either a command or a prohibition or istifham. In any of those cases, command, prohibition, or istifham, that's what's called a talabi. If the jawab al-sharat is a talabi, should be preceded by fa. If the jawab al-sharat is a jumla ismi, a nominal sentence, it should be preceded by fa. So here we're talking about what? The sharat and jawab al-sharat. And this second point of this lesson is what? That the jawab al-sharat in certain cases must be preceded by fa. And two of those cases is if the jawab al-sharat is a nominal sentence. And the other one is if the jawab al-sharat is a talabi, a command, a prohibition, or a question. Okay, we're going to look at this in Arabic and then we're going to end this session on page 110 in a little bit, on page 111, just the top couple of lines. It says on page 110, after questions 1, 2, and 3, it says, إِذَا, yani the word إِذَا is ظَرْفٌ تَضَمَّنَ مَعْنَ الشَّرْط, yani it's a شَرْط. I'm sorry, a dharf, an adverb that contains within it the meaning of a shart, a condition. And as we'll see later on, that they are, we're going to see, yani, that the shart will make, yani, in many cases, it will make the verb majzoom, but here, yani, either doesn't make any verb majzoom, okay? So it's just an adverb of time, future, and it is, has the meaning of condition. Yani, if this, then that. Either ظَرْفٌ, adverb, تَضَمَّنَ مَعْنَى الشَّرْط. And we should also say, because I think it's not mentioned here, I don't know, it was mentioned, no. Okay, it's not even mentioned in the English, but in any case, yani, it's a dharf and it's mabniun ala sukoon. Yani, إِذَا, yani, the alif has sukoon. Alif never takes a vowel, so it has sukoon, right? So it's mabniun ala sukoon. تَدْخُلُ غَالِبًا عَلَى فِعْلِ الْمَاضِي. Most of the time, it's used with a past tense verb. فَتُحَوِّلُهُ فِي الْمَعْنَى إِلَى الْمُسْتَقْبَلِ. Mostly it's used with a past tense verb, but it transforms or converts the meaning of the past tense verb to mustaqbal, to the future meaning. And that's why we say it's a dharf of zaman for the future, because it indicates meaning in the future. When this happens, if and when this happens in the future, then such and such and so on. So, for example, إِذَا جَاءَ رَمَضَان, yani whenever Ramadan comes in the future, that's the sharat. فُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُ الْجَنَّةِ, that's the jawab al-shar, the gates of paradise will be opened. Even though it's past tense verb, إِذَا جَاءَ, فُتِحَتْ, those are past tense verb, but the meaning is future. وَقَدْ تَدْخُلُ, yani إِذَا قَدْ تَدْخُلُ عَلَى الْمُضَارِ, it might also be used with the mudari verb as a shart. وكذلك يجوز أن يكون جواب الشرط. And it may also be used with a mudari verb in the jawab al-shart. So even though it's mostly used with the past tense in the shart and the jawab al-shart, a mudari verb can also be used in both cases, in the shart as well as in the jawab al-shart. قد تدخل, again I'm going to read it again because I didn't finish the sentence, right? قد تدخل على المضاري, يعني the إذا, it might be used with a mudari verb. وكذلك يجوز أن يكون جواب الشرط فعلا مضاريا. And also the جواب الشرط can be a فعل مضاري, كما في قول الشاعر, as in the line of the poet, والنفس راغبة إذا رغبتها, يعني the soul is desirous of more and more and more. إذا رغبته, if you allow it or cause it or encourage it to desire more, then it will do that. وَإِذَا تُرَدُّ إِلَى الْقَلِيلِ But if or when you force it back, push it back to a little bit, turn it to taking a little bit, تَقْنَوْ, then it will be satisfied with that. The person has control of themselves. So here we see that in the second line of the poetry, إِذَا تُرَدُّ إِلَى الْقَلِيلِ, that's the شرط, it's the مُضَارِي verb. تَقْنَعُ, that's the جواب الشرط, is also a مُضَارِي verb. So even though يعني إذا is mostly used with past tense verbs, it can be used in the شرط as well as in the جواب الشرط with a present tense verb. Then it says يَجِبُ اِقْتِرَانُ جَوَابَ الشَّرْطِ, this is the second part of the lesson, يَجِبُ اِقْتِرَانُ جَوَابَ الشَّرْطِ بِالْفَاعِ فِي الْمَوَاضِعِ, it is obligatory that the جواب الشرط must be اِقْتِرَان, يعني accompanied by, fa fi mawadi, in various places, minha, from amongst them. In this lesson we have two of those mawadi. The first one is an yakunu jawabu jumlatan ismiyatan, yani if the jawab al-shart is a jumla ismiya, nominal sentence. For example, idha sa'alaka ibadi wa idha sa'alaka ibadi anni fa inni qareeb, if or when my worshippers ask you about me, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, then indeed I am near. يعني the جواب الشرط is إني قريب, is a جملة اسمية, therefore it's accompanied by يعني اقترانه اقترن بي فا. Number two, the second situation, from the various places in which it's obligatory, يجب اقتران الجواب الشرط بالفا, the second of them is أن يكون الجواب فعلا طلبيا, يعني when the جواب الشرط is a فعل طلبي, ومن أنواع الطلب, and from the various types of طلب, الأمر, the command to do something, والنهي, the command not to do something, والاستفهام, asking a question. And they give us three examples, the first one of a command, the second one of a نهي, and the third one of a استفهام. The first one, أمر, إذا رأيت حامدا فاسأله عن موعد السفر, فاسأله, that's a command. That's the جواب الشرط. فاسأله فعل أمر. It's a command. Therefore, it's preceded by فا. If you see Hamid, ask him about the time of the journey, traveling, the trip. B. Turn to the top of page 116. It says إذا وجدت المريض نائما فلا توقظه. If you find the sick person sleeping, the patient is sleeping, فلا توقظه, do not wake him up. Here, لا توقظه is a نهي, a command not to do something. Do not wake him up. So if the جواب الشرط is a أمر or a نهي, استفهام, must be preceded by فا. The third example is استفهام, إذا رأيت بلالا, إذا رأيت بلالا فماذا أقول له, if or when I see Bilal, then what shall I say to him, what shall I tell him. ماذا أقول له is a question, and question is one of the types of طلبي, يعني أمر نهي استفهام. So when the جواب الشرط is preceded by, when the جواب الشرط is a question, استفهام, it must be preceded by فا. And this is the end of what we wanted to present for today in review of lesson 13 and 14. We're going to stop here with this. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. And by the way, Let me also mention that next Sunday's session will be the first day of the daylight savings time. The clocks will be moving back 1 hour. All right, so if you're in a daylight savings time, don't forget to turn your clock back during the night or early in the morning, or whenever you turn it back, if you do that, if you follow that, make sure you turn your clock back. So the class will be at the same time, but if you have to turn your clock back, then instead of the time that we would normally start, you know, at 2:30, then your clock will be 1:30. Okay? If you're not in a daylight savings time zone, then it's going to be at the same time, regular time. And by the way, in the near future, we'll also probably be changing the times of the class because of the tightness of the time between Dhuhr and Asr for me. And we started out with each session being an hour and a half. Then it went down to 1 hour and 15 minutes, and now it's getting less than that. So in order to maintain a reasonable amount of time for each session, we're going to, in the very, very near future, we're going to have to change the times. It's going to be like the level 2 class is going to be immediately after Dhuhr, and this level 3 class is going to be after Asr. You know, that's after the they do this daylight savings time, okay? So the class is going to be after Dhuhr and Asr, but right now, for next week at least, it's going to be at our regular time. If you're in a daylight savings time zone, make sure you turn your clock back. Instead of this class starting at 2:30 in your daylight savings time area, your clock is going to be saying 1:30. Other people are going to be at the regular time that we've been doing, okay? We're going to stop here with this. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. And I ask Allah for myself and for each of you that He grant us success in doing whatever we do sincerely for His sake alone, and that He recognize, reward, and record our good deeds, and that He pardon, forgive, and overlook our mistakes and errors and shortcomings, and that He grant us al-thabat, firmness and steadfastness upon as-sirat al-mustaqim, until we return to Him. And we return to Him in a condition of being pleasing to Him and pleased with Him. May He grant yani al-shifa to those amongst us who are sick, and may He grant His yani rahma and maghfira and afu, yani pardon and forgiveness and mercy to those who have passed away from amongst us. Ameen ya rabbal alameen.